I would make the statement back to that. They would say, then what's going to be different from the presence of God? We'll say, whether you like eternal anguish, eternal, you know, that whipping and gnashing of teeth, all that good stuff like that. But the presence of God is everywhere. The question is, do we choose to acknowledge it and to activate it into our lives? Andrew's got an in-depth question, I'd say.
It's not really a question. It's kind of a statement. And I'm not trying to be rebellious or anything and not believe that hell is not a place where the presence of God is not. I've been told that instead of hell being a place where the presence of God is not, hell is a place where the presence of God is only his wrath. And that is it. Nothing else.
God was everywhere.
What say you?
That's too much.
You can't have too much of it. We don't know mysteries, man. Come on. But the thing is we do know is God's wrath is judgment, and you're right. And the judgment is a decision he made for all eternity for one person. So that judgment, you can say it's wrath. You can say it's anything. It's torture, you know, for the rest of eternity.
That would make sense, you know, that...
Waterboarding.
That the part of, you know, everyone looks at the Old Testament and say the God of wrath, the God of destruction, and look at the New Testament and see the God of love. But what a lot of people don't understand is just because in the New Testament we see his love, his wrath is still present. I would have to research that more in depth, but that sounds like a pretty legitimate statement.
And he is omnipresent, that, so he's
everywhere.
So everywhere,
yeah.
He can be anywhere he wants to be.
He can be anywhere he wants to be. Yeah, I get what you're saying. There's kind of a hole there. That's one of the things in which we see through the glass darkly, but then face to face, and then we shall see as we are now seen. 1 Corinthians 13:12. There's some things in this world, when if we spend our entire time obsessing about simple things, people quit believing in Jesus because you can't explain these systematic little things. But that's where the point in time in which we step back and we just sit there and say, I'm not God. It's not my right to understand everything about your presence. I have thought about that. Morgan, right?
Yes.
I think that's fine. Yes. That... Yes, God is everywhere,
but
that's one of the holes that I don't know. I'm honestly not there.
I just study on heaven because it's a
place where he's
place
at.
I don't want to go.
Hell's a place where I don't want to go. Good deal.
I'd like to know more about
the place I'm going. So, might as well get acquainted with my new house. You know, you have an open house before you buy it. But,
so we're going to explore.
No, it's a good question. It's a good statement. Like John just says, I would say let's focus on getting to heaven. Because it's not God's will that none should perish. It's God's will that none should perish, but all come into repentance.
But at the end of the day, you bring about points when you're talking to people because... At the end of the day, they're going to ask questions like, you know, why would I be so scared of this place called hell? You know, what is it torture to me? You know, I'm just an average good guy. Stuff like that. You know, you don't want to... We know we're going to heaven, but the thing is we have to know what hell is just so that we can explain to them where they're going there.
And for those of you here last week, I kind of hit about it. Talking about complete presence of fire, and I talked about all these little neat little things about it. I kind of touched on it, the worm doesn't perish, and... Went to there a little bit last week, so it was fun. Okay, let's get rocking and rolling tonight. And I have a mysterious remote control in my back pocket. Tonight is Watchmen Part 2. Last week I talked about being a person who sets themselves up to see the lost and to call out to those for repentance. Now, you see, I've talked a lot about looking for the lost, but there's another step, because it's one thing to see people who need God, and it's another thing to verbalize the fact of, do you know the Lord? And I heard this story the other day of a guy walking up to people in Walmart. Who told me that? Guy walking up to people in Walmart and just saying, do you know God? Do you know the Lord? You know, many times the street evangelism have long-lasting fruit. No, but it's really cool to see people activating their faith. You gotta keep, I mean, if you get contact information, it's one thing. Disciple people. I mean, I'm encouraged by stuff like that. But tonight, it's one thing to be a watch person looking for the lost. But not only should we constantly be looking for the lost, we need to be seeking the Lord as well. We need to be people who are constantly seeking the presence of God. People who are constantly seeking the Lord and a relationship with Him and His presence and His power and His voice. Specifically tonight, we're going to key in on hearing the Lord. Hearing Him speak. Learning to discern His voice. This is going to be in-depth stuff. This is probably the most in-depth thing I've ever taught about. So, buckle your seatbelts. It's going to get crazy. This is going to go deep. Habakkuk 2, 1 through 3. Habakkuk is a minor prophet. It was towards the back of the Old Testament. It's three chapters long. If it's like here in the Bible. So, two-third mark. Habakkuk. If you got to go to your index, don't feel bad. It's okay. I heard of a preacher, big-time known preacher, last month on TV. Who was that who told me about that? Preacher on TV had to go to his index. He was preaching like from Nahum or something, John. He goes, you saw him flip to the front of his Bible, then flip back to where it was at. So don't feel bad if you got to use the index. We don't remember everything, guys. We're people.
He said it's before the Nahum, or before the Z's and after the Nahums. Zephaniah.
I get you.
Weird Bible. Old Testament history.
It helps, though. I'm going to read this and we're going to get started. Habakkuk 2, verses 1 through 3. It says this, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand guard at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how He will answer my complaint. Then the Lord said to me, God speaking, by the way, this is God speaking, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. A lot of verses. Good stuff. Pay attention to that. If you've got your Bible, that's where I'm going to be hanging out tonight. I've got like five different scriptures I'm going to go through, though. This is going to be in depth. This is going to be fun. I want you to tonight be able to walk out of here knowing the voice of the Lord. And you see, it's essential. From last week, we read the verse that said, be alert. Know that your enemy, Satan, is like a roaring lion, roaming around seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert. We learned that word means to be awakened from a sleep, to be cautious, to give watch, to pay attention. We need to be Christians who pay attention to the world, who don't simply walk through our schools and just miss things. You need to be alert. You need to be sober. You need to be attentive to the Word of God. It cracks me up. Just like I said last week, I go to Williamette High School. Parking space. Visitor sign. Right there. But people see the blue and they keep on driving because it's been blotched out. They just think, oh, I guess it's still a handicapped spot. We need to pay attention. It's amazing how many things that you miss every single week just because you don't pay attention. I fail to do things because I don't pay attention to them. We need to be alert and watch for people. Now, you need to be alert seeking the lost, first off. But you need to be attentive to God. We've heard the verse Acts 5:29 so many times. You know, we seek God's approval over man's approval. It's good stuff. I would rather hear the voice of God than the voice of man. You see, people come to me, they're mad about stuff, or they're upset about things, or I'm upset about things, and it's amazing how quick it is to listen to some other human's perspective and listen to them chime in on my anger. But how hard is it to sit down and just say, God, what do you speak to me? God, what do you say to me? Do we talk to God anymore as Christians? Do we pray to Him? Do we communicate with Him? A praying Christian is a powerful Christian. Someone who knows God, someone who speaks to Him, is one who has tapped in with God Himself. Would you rather be connected to some church ministry? Or how about you get connected instead of a ministry, get connected to God Himself? What I say pales in comparison to this word and to what He could speak to you to your life individually. Do I believe that when I speak up here tonight, I don't think I'm speaking things out of my own mind, because trust me, I'm not that profound. I'm simple. I like to say, I mean, it's not that complicated. I believe God gives me things to speak to us, gives us words, gives me something to say to you guys. But we need to individually not just rely on me. You need to rely on yourself speaking to God, listening to what He's saying to you. So few people do that. They just take the pastor's message in services and go home and that's it. Well, God spoke to me through that. What about God speaking to you Himself? You see, I want you to understand something, that God today is alive and speaking. He's alive. He's not dead. We've talked about this. He's not some God who's bound up in a grave anymore. He's not some God who's dead. alive people speak. You're speaking, right? Say, speak with me. Speak. Alive people speak. You know someone who's alive because they're vocalizing things. You can tell I'm clearly alive. I'm usually a pretty gung-ho person. God is not dead. He is alive. The fool says in his heart, God is dead. Some idiot atheists like to quote that verse at Christians, but they forget the first part. They say, your Bible says God is dead. Well, my Bible also says you're a fool because you think he is. Congratulations. Get an award. I like that. It's cool. The fool says in his heart, God is dead. I'm here to tell you tonight that God is alive and speaking. He was alive when Jesus Christ walked the earth and died for our sins. And when he rose again, he was alive at the beginning of time. But he's also alive today. And he's still speaking. People like to say this, and I've had conversations with people recently. They say, oh, well, God only spoke in the Bible. Do you see a conditional clause when God's word went forth? His word does not return void. And when God speaks, it does not stop. And people like to say, well, that's just for the Bible. It stopped a long time ago. Well, then how does your pastor preach every Sunday? Then how do you live your life? Well, he leads me. No, he speaks and leads you. God is speaking today. He is alive. There's not a contingent clause. The word of the Lord is going forth today. It's going forth to all corners of the world, people and countries. Do you know that China right now is in the middle of the world's greatest revival? People are hearing God's voice, calling him to do his work in China. I forgot what the statistic is, but X thousands of people every day are coming to the Lord there. Because people believe God is speaking. They believe he's alive. If we believe God is alive, that Jesus Christ rose from the grave, we need to start acting like he is alive. Alive people speak. Do you know that he's still speaking to men and women who seek his face, who earnestly say, God, I want to know you. I want to speak to you. I want to talk to you. God is speaking to us still. The question is, will we stop and listen? God always speaks to an attentive ear. All throughout history, in the word of God right here, we see time after time when God has spoke to man. When God has called out to people through eternity and spoke words to people. God has spoke to me in my life. I'm talking to you because he spoke to me and told me, John, go do my will. I was wanting to be a doctor. I had all the classes. I was wanting to be a golfer. But he said, no, that's not for you. I've called you to go speak my word and to do my will above everything else. And I left all behind because he spoke. God is speaking today. And when he speaks, if you're listening, it's clear. It's something that you can run with. This scripture says right here, I write my answer plainly on tablet so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. When God speaks, you need to be attentive to it. When you pray, understand that he speaks back. Prayer is something for you to speak to God and for him to speak back to you. The question is, do you listen? If your prayers are something like, God, I want a new house. I need this. I need that. I want this. Peace out, God. See you later. How can God speak to you? If you flood conversations, the other person can't communicate back to you. We need to stop and listen to God. So many times our prayers are full of I wants and help me's and see you later's that he can never speak back. We need to be open to conversation with God. And when God speaks back to us, you need to know a couple things about that. You need to first know that he makes it clear. I recommend to you guys, now this is completely off topic, but if you feel like God has spoke something to you, write it down. Write it down. Your flesh isn't going to remember spirit. Write it down. Make it plain. That's why I recommend you see me carry this little book around with me. This book is not full. It's not a prayer journal. It's not a message book. This is what God has spoke to me. I've had one of these before. I filled it up. I'm on the second one. It's been well loved. It's good stuff. I write in here things that I feel like God is speaking to me. Many messages that you've heard have come out of this book. Get one. Make it plain. I try it. Yeah, it's my buddy. It's been everywhere. God is alive and speaking, and I've got something to say to you. Go to Proverbs 30, and here comes the fun stuff. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6. And it says this. Proverbs 30, 5 and 6. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to all who come for him for protection. Do not add to his words, or he may rebuke you and expose you as a liar. What God says goes. The question is, are we going to open up a conversation with them? For God to speak to you, you must speak to him. When you speak, give God opportunities to speak back to you. We're going to talk about that here in just a minute. But we're going to talk about tonight, we've got the fact is God is speaking. Have you heard me say that? God is speaking. He's alive. He's not dead. He's talking. The question is, are you going to stop and listen to Him? And this scripture right here says, every word of God proves true. If God tells you something, He's going to do it. He doesn't change His mind. I'm sick and tired of people saying, well, the Lord told me this. Well, then why a week later did you do something different? Don't mock God's words. It makes me disgusted, angry, righteous anger. When I'm in church and I hear some person talk about the Lord spoke this to me, and it proves true a month later when you say, well, now He spoke this to me. And I have a particular situation in my mind. And it makes me disgusted, for it says right here, do not add to His words. When God speaks something to you, you need to make it plain, you need to make it clear. And if you dare add to it, you have made a mockery of God Himself. That is off topic too. But I'm tired of people taking the word of the Lord and bending it to what they want. Don't you mock His voice. For you are blessed to hear it. If you speak to God and He communicates back to you. Now see, you would think that this is complicated. You would think that God speaking is something complicated. No, it's as simple as you listening. And we're going to talk about that here in a second. Don't worry, we're getting there. But do not add to His words, or He will rebuke you and expose you as a liar. We've took the word of the Lord as cheap. God spoke this. God spoke that. Led me here. Did this. Did that. We need to be clear what God is saying. Because when God speaks, He sets it so He can run with it. Don't add to His words or you're a liar. And I honestly, I've been in ministry for 3 years now. I have no respect for a person who adds to God's words. No, if God spoke for you to give this money to the church, He didn't speak for you to give it when you have it. No, He said, give it. Or when God speaks, you just need to obey it. For what God says is true. When God calls you to do something, you don't need to question it. You don't need to sit there and think about it. If He told you to do it, He's going to give you the ability to do it. When John said in the summer of when God said to me, to John, in the summer of 2007, John, go do my will. I've called you to my work. I didn't question it. It's not my right to question it. For a little bit, I said, God, give me a confirmation. I shouldn't even have done that. I just said, yes. Yes. Think of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, it says, who will go for me? Whom shall I send? Me, Lord. Yes, me. Send me. That should be your prayer. To think that the God of the universe would call to you through eternity and speak. You should say yes. Whatever it is. I don't care what it is. If He's called you to change your school, you said yes to Him, didn't you? You're following it. I'm talking to Alex there. God calls you to do Bible studies. God calls you to do all these things. Your words should be yes. No question. Yes. Say it with me. Yes. Say it with me one more time. Yes. What are we going to say to God? Yes. No questions. A questioning Christian is a dangerous Christian. Do you know that faith is believing, not questioning? So that when you question God's words, you've stepped out of faith and into doubt. Remember what happened to Peter? He sank because of it. I like walking over the storm. I'm not going there, but 1 Kings chapter 19. Now you see, your logical question was, John, if God is speaking, how am I going to know what He's speaking? How am I going to hear His voice? How am I going to know that it's Him talking to me? I got an answer for you. You see, as I'm talking, these things build up. So that's why we pay attention the whole time. Because the end of it is contingent upon the first part of it. And you pick up at the end, you're like, whoa, all of a sudden, where did this come from? Pick up the first part and tune out. You're like, God's speaking. How? Okay. Bear with me. And I promise you we're going to get done on time. It's a good deal. No one's gave me an amen all night tonight, though. I was really hoping for like a boom shakalaka, okay? I was really hoping just me to say like, holy is a boom shakalaka! I know. I could just see Corey doing that. But she's like, you could just be like, if you don't know God, you want to help. Whatever. That'd be you. It'd just be so random. I've known this kid since he was a freshman in high school. He was this big and crazier than...
I've known him since I was a freshman too.
Then I don't even know. A bunch of kids jacked up on Mountain Dew. But 1 Kings 19. You see, by the way, for you guys who are like ADD, I did that intentionally. 1 Kings 19. First Kings 19. Whole thing.
The whole Bible. Who shall read it tonight?
First Kings 19, verse 10 or verse 11. This is God speaking to Elijah. Elijah is probably one of the most bad but voices for the Lord to ever walk this earth. This guy, let me tell you what he did. There was a competition between the true God, his God, and a false God named Baal, and they were making a sacrifice and trying to see if Baal would send down fire. Joker sat there and goes, "Is your God taking a pee? Is he busy? Does he not answer your prayers?" "Oh, my bad." See, I wish we had that attitude.
They killed them all.
And they killed them all with a sword. 850 people. Now you're like, "I'm going to go kill my Christians." No. No. But.
No. I'm suffering.
He wouldn't let no one help him. And he killed 850 by himself. He was pretty holy angered. But listen to this. I wish we had the attitude to walk into our school and say, "This is how it is, school. Holy is the Lord. Jesus Christ alone is the path to heaven. And if you have a problem with it, you can pick a cheek." Yes, I said that. Because I don't care. That's Elijah. Now you know about Elijah. And kiss it to add it in to the cheek. Because you can kiss my butt. Because I really don't care. So, 1 Kings 19:11. Some of you are like, "That's the first time I've ever heard a pastor say that." 1 Kings 19:11. Listen to this. "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. "And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by. And a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were turned loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood by the entrance of the cave." The story goes on and you see a dialogue between Elijah and God himself. I want you to understand something. God said, "I want you to go stand outside of the cave that you're in and look and listen." A great windstorm hit, but God was not there. A great earthquake struck, but God was not there. And a fire blew through, but God was not there. Then all of a sudden, the sound of a gentle whisper blew through. And it was the voice of the Lord. You see, you need to learn to understand what the voice of the Lord is. Too many times Christians listen to earthquakes, fire, and windstorms instead of the voice of God. You need to discern between your emotions and the Spirit of God. Emotions are loud. Feelings are loud. People's idiot opinions are loud. Your school is loud. Your home sometimes is loud. That's why Jesus says, "Step into your quiet place and seek my face." Go to your prayer closet.
Amen.
You need to learn to seek his voice. I'm sick and tired of people coming to me complaining about their issues because they're listening to the fire and they're not listening for his small voice. You need to stop yourself and start listening for God. When storms come in and you want to hear his voice or you're praying, be still, know your Lord, and listen, and he will speak. I find it interesting that God's voice is still and small. It's calming, it's soothing. It's something that is quiet compared to the shake of storms around him. That he had to stop, and he's listening, and he's paying attention. And then after the storms blew through, God spoke. You need to discern between storms and the voice of the Lord. When you're praying, you need to listen attentively. Whispers are heard only when you truly listen. God's voice will be heard only when you truly listen. When you sit down, when you're done praying and saying, "God, I want to hear you. I want to hear you. And listen." And I'll tell you this. One time I heard God audibly speak to me. And it wasn't in some booming, crashing voice. It blew from behind me. And it was smooth and it was still. Shh. I heard him whisper in my ear about something. And it blew my life to pieces. I'll tell you this right now, guys. Imagine a generation of Christians who no longer listen to the problems in their life, to the voices on their television, and to the voices on their friends, but stopped and listened to the voice of God. Imagine what that would be like. Imagine if we had a youth group of people who sat at the Lord's feet every single day and prayed and listened to God speak back to them. God's interested in your little things. We think that God isn't interested in our decisions. He isn't interested in our hearts. He isn't interested in our pains. He's interested in you. He wants you to speak to Him so He can speak back. You've got to start the conversation. And I'm telling you, it's so easy to listen to loud storms, but we need to stop and start listening to God. You're praying about things. You know what you need to do? You need to get yourself alone in a quiet place and stop and listen for His voice. And you know what? If it takes an hour, who cares? Because He spoke to you. I need to work on that. I need to start working on being still and knowing the Lord. That's Psalm 46:10. Be still and know the Lord thy God. Stop yourself and just listen to Him. Quit listening to the storms of your life. Quit listening to earthquakes. Stop watching the fires and just sit, ignore them, and listen for His voice. Be still and know the Lord thy God. That's simple. That's clear. That's concise. That's what the word of the Lord is. It's plain so you can run with it. It's in depth. It's straight to the point. But you've got to stop to listen. And I'm going to tell you this, guys. Right now, you want to hear the voice of the Lord, you're going to hear some earthquakes first. Satan's going to throw everything he can at you to get you from hearing His voice. Because if you can get tapped into God's voice, nothing will stop you. Because when you get to know His voice, I find it amazing in John chapter 10, verse 3, it says, the sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd. The exact words of the sheep recognize His voice, and I put in the shepherd because that's what the context of it is. When you start listening to God, when you start seeking His face, when you start recognizing that He's speaking to you, and you start praying to Him and communicating to Him and start hearing His voice back, you learn to know His voice. You will learn the Master's voice. Once you hear God speak to you about things, you're going to start to recognize it. You're going to start to know what it sounds like. And it's going to become easier and easier and easier to hear Him. But you've got to start communicating to Him to hear Him speak back to you. God is wanting to talk to you. You. Each and every single one of you. The King of the universe. The God that spoke and the stars came into being. He wants to use that same voice that spoke and speak to you. You, one out of 9 billion people now. You. He wants to talk to you. The phone's waiting. The question is, are you going to pick it up and start the conversation? And guys, I'm going to tell you, if you want to hear the voice of the Lord, it's going to be hard at first because storms usually precede the small voice. Take that to heart. Take that to heart that you're going to have issues that are going to try to come against you. So we know that God speaks. We know how to discern His voice because God's voice is calming. God's voice is peaceful. It is articulate. It is straight to the point. It's something we can run with. You want to discern between your emotions and the voice of God? Test them. Test what you're hearing. Does it hold true to what He said? Does it hold true to His word being true? Two truths in one sentence. Does it stay solid? You think God's speaking something to you? Hold it true to this word. Anytime you hear a preacher or someone say something from God, get this book out and see if it holds true to it. And if it doesn't, cast it aside. It's trash. It's useless. It's nothing. It's pointless. It's worthless. Don't you add to His words or He will make you shown as a liar. That seems mean. But so many people throw that out there. The final thing is following and heeding His voice. And I've got 1 minute to go over this. You understand that God's wanting to speak to you, but you've got to start talking to Him. You understand that once He speaks to you, you're going to have to learn to understand and discern His voice, to learn it, to get to know it. Get to know God speaking to you. He's wanting to speak on little things. But it's all useless if God speaks to you and you don't activate His words. James 1:22 is the final verse for tonight. James 1:22 says this, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. When God speaks to you, when God calls out to you through His word, through services, through Him speaking to you through prayer, don't just be a listener of His word. Be someone who does it. It's useless. It is useless. Utterly, completely pointless to hear God's voice and not follow it. It's pointless. Let's stand up. We're going to leave, guys. I believe the word for tonight can be summed up in one sentence. I feel that God is calling out a generation of those who listen and follow the voice of the Lord. Of people who no longer listen to storms, fires, and earthquakes, and the television, and friends, but the voice of the Lord. That knows His voice, that follows it, and who not only listens to it, activates it. Do not be only a hearer, but also be a doer. For if you do not do what you hear, you are a foolish person. Consult God about little things. Don't be afraid. He's been waiting on you to start the conversation. The question is, are you going to pick up the phone and start speaking so He can speak back to you? Little things, guys. Lord, what do you want me to do at school today? What time should I do my homework? Lead me, God. He'll lead you, guys. Don't think God's not interested in the little things. Because remember, He made the little things as well as the big things. As we leave, I have 4,000 flyers we've got to get out to the schools. 4,000 Alive Night flyers. Please hand out all these, guys. We want this to be the biggest Alive Night ever. But you know what? Flyers don't really matter much. Your life matters much more. If you feel like you need to pray tonight, if this has been an issue for you hearing the voice of the Lord, learning it, understanding it, becoming a doer of it, discerning it from storms, I'd love to pray with you. There's some people here who would love to pray with you. Don't be afraid. Tonight can be the night that you start hearing the voice of the Master and learning it and becoming one with it. Every single time He speaks, moving, living your life to the tune of the voice of God instead of the voice of the world. Let's pray. We're going to be dismissed. Father God, I come to You right now humbly, and I submit this time to You, God. I believe that what I've spoke is not of myself, God. It is what You've said to me to speak. Lord God, I believe You're calling for a generation of young people who follow the voice of the Lord instead of the voice of the world and the voice of people. You're calling for a generation who sits and listens, who learns how to be still and learns how to discern Your voice from the voice of this world. God, I believe that as each one of these people in this room puts You to the test, God, and speaks to You, God, You're going to speak back if they'll just sit and listen. Lord God, give us patience and give us the ability to not only hear Your words through the Bible and through You speaking to us, but become doers of what You've said. Let everyone return home safely and any need in this room, I pray, be ministered to in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's by Your name, by Your Spirit, by Your power, by Your grace, Jesus, we're here tonight. Let us hear Your voice and let us follow it like good sheep. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.